to Refilwe Mpakanyane.
1702.
It's going on 17 minutes past 6, and we're talking outdoor workout tips for spring. You don't have to be an outdoor enthusiast to try these outdoor workouts, but once in a while, you might want to trade your indoor workout for a walk in the park, a run around your neighborhood, or hiking, and of course, just some body weights, right, in nature. So, of course, we know that exposure to sunlight is said to increase the brain's release of serotonin, which is associated with boosting the mood and, of course, helping one calm down or feel calm and focused as well. So that's just another benefit of being outside when you exercise. But if you need more motivation, we're talking to a director at FitPro Institute of Fitness Professionals, Derek Archer. He's going to be giving us the skinny on how you can maximize your outdoor workouts. Derek Archer, welcome to Weekend Breakfast, or rather, welcome back to Weekend Breakfast. Always good to have you on.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Derek, for those of us that are thinking, outdoors, what can I do outside that's effective, that doesn't need a whole lot of equipment, etc.? What are the possibilities when it comes to working out outside or getting fit outside, besides, of course, the running and the walking?
Okay, so the possibilities are actually endless. They're based on the environment that you have exposure to. So if you've just got your backyard, or if you've got a nice open park or sports field, you can vary your workout to match that environment. Obviously, you have your body weight in terms of resistance training, and you know, there are plenty of little apps and programs that you can find on the net that give you some sort of guidance in terms of what exercises you can and can't do. But ultimately, most of the activities that we do in the gym, we can do outside, and it's just understanding. Well, you can do squats in the gym, sure. You can do bodyweight squats. You can do, the document you sent for us to have a look through. Simple things like if you're in a park area, you've got a park bench. What can you do on the park bench? Can you do step ups? Can you do, for those people that are quite physically developed, that can do box jumps, kind of scenario where you're jumping up and down onto the bench, or people that are learning how to squat, for instance, that are not comfortable, they can squat sitting back down on the bench and standing up. So, now, there's lots of things that you can do using implements in the environment. So if you're in a park environment, what is this? Is a park nice and flat? Can you run around the park?
Uh-huh.
Are there trees or bushes that's basically evenly spaced apart? If the municipality has kept the gardens and the park areas in good nick, you can run, do shuttle runs between those bushes. There are lots of things that you can do. It's more about sort of exposing yourself via different programs, different stuff you see on the net, Instagram, that kind of thing, but also understanding what you physically capable of here and now.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get excited and think, okay, flip outdoors, what can we do? And suddenly we hit a blank and think, now what am I actually going to do? The first thing you need to do is just get moving. So you've got to follow your normal process for training. What do? We warm up, we go through some mobility drills, some flexibility stuff, so that we're completely prepared. Obviously, we're wearing the correct clothing and shoes, et cetera, to make sure our workout is good from that perspective.
Sure.
And then going into your program, what exercises am I going to? What is the focus of today's session? What is my objective? Am I just doing it to get a little mobile and get the sweat going? Or am I looking at pushing my cardiovascular system a bit harder? So would my focus be on sort of high-intensity stuff, like the short bursts of activity with very little rest in between, keeping my heart rate quite elevated and thus stressing my heart from that perspective? Or is it going to be more of a strength-based thing? So am I looking at improving my strength using body weight? Perhaps some external resistance if you have some elastics that you can maybe attach onto the park bench or to a pole and work with the elastic while you're outside as well. The possibilities are actually endless. But it's always good to revert back to the basics because it's less intimidating. And then also look for and decide what is your objective. Every training that you do, the guidance is much easier when you know exactly what you're trying to achieve. So that combined with the time you have available in the environment help you determine what sort of training you can do.
Okay. So before we get into specific sort of regimens or looking at high intensity interval training, amongst other things, for outdoor training, you mentioned Instagram, and I just thought of the number of times that I've seen people on social media talking about the benefits of catching that bright morning sunlight or that early morning sunlight. What does that do for the body, and what are they alluding to in this regard?
You mentioned earlier about us benefiting from serotonin release via exposure to the sun. At the end of the day, it also we have vitamin D from the sun too. But if we're starting the first thing in the morning, being outdoors with the fresh air, generally there's less pollution first thing in the morning as well. So there is fresh air. It's forcing you into an early morning routine, which is also going to start your day where you're getting a bit of an endorphin rush, a bit of a fix from that perspective, and a bit of an adrenaline rush. It's a good thing, and it sets you up for the rest of the day. And also, the other beauty of it is that your exercise is done. You're more inclined. A lot of guys, if they miss their morning session, chances of them catching it up in the afternoon are very small. So to get things done, first thing, to watch the sunrise. You know, the sun has always been history has been quite an important thing for human beings. That's why people back in the day used to worship, mm-hmm. because it represents a new day, it represents energy, it represents all of different things. But I think it also switches on something in the brain that, like a positive element in the brain.
Absolutely. So in terms of that, Derek, appropriate time for outdoor workouts during this period, as early as you want, as early as you need to get up to squash that workout in, or are we trying to target the roundabout sunrise?
The earlier the better. Let's put it this way. It's entirely up to everyone, but everyone in their own capacity. However, some people may prefer morning, some people may prefer afternoon. The things we need to take note of, and as the headline on that article he sent said, was warm weather. So, you know, at the moment, the temperature's starting to soar, so you want to exercise before it gets too hot. The second thing is we've had a lot of rain recently, so the humidity levels are quite high as well. So the discomfort factor is quite significant. So how that impacts us, the workout that you normally, if we did them early in the morning where the temperature's not as bad and there's less humidity, generally stress, your body's under less strain from the environment rather than just from actual training. When it starts to get a little hotter and your body's starting to have to cool itself down in addition to your workout, your workouts do become a little more stressful. And obviously with the humidity being high as well, your body doesn't cool down as efficiently. So those are things, you know, just from a comfort perspective, where it's probably better to train earlier than later. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be exposed to, I mean, a lot of these phones now also have apps giving you what the UV readings are for the day. So you don't want to be out too late where the UV readings are very high and you have to expose yourself to harmful parts of the sun. You'd rather maximize on all elements if you could.
So last week, we're having a conversation around running in the rain, because of course that's all we experienced all weekend long, right? Tons of rain and downpours. So what's best in terms of preparing for that kind of weather, or exercising that kind of weather, or is it best just to stay home and not go out at all?
Look, with the rain element, especially on the half of, if there's lightning around, that's our main deterrent. You're going to be in lightning or hail. Look, if the rain is very heavy and there's a chance to just slip, or there's a chance of injury or hurting yourself, obviously that's not ideal. But rain where you can still move comfortably, you know, there's no chance of those sort of things like slipping or doing whatever, that's perfect. I mean, that sort of cools you down. You don't have to worry about it. And you'll notice when you're training that at a certain point, just before you start to sweat, your heart rate kicks in higher, because now your body is so busy trying to cool itself down that it directs blood away from your muscles to your skin to help with removal of heat, so basically through your stretching and there's evaporation and so on, your heart rate goes high. That stress is a bit higher. But now when you're nice and cool with the rain, you tend not to have to worry about that. And you can actually work and push yourself a lot harder. But the main thing here is safety. So is it safe, the environment in, the surface that you're running on or training on, is that safe or slippery? Is there a chance of injury? And also lightning. We always underestimate. You know, we tend to ignore how dangerous lightning actually is. So it's something to think about as well.
Absolutely. Derek, some recommendations when it comes to working out outdoors, perhaps what we can do with regards to body weights, as I said, beyond the running, beyond the walking. What can we do that doesn't require equipment and, we can just improvise irrespective of the environment?
Okay, so whatever machines and stuff we can use in the gym, we can mimic those sort of movements just using body weight. So, okay. If we use the example of squats, so we can do your normal squats. We can change the foot position of our squats to target different areas. So if you've got your normal standard squat with your feet in a comfortable position, hip width apart, you're targeting your glutes and your quads. You take your feet slightly wider to sort of a sumo squat position, it'll target the inside of the thighs. We can do glute bridges, so lying on your back, feet flat on the ground, squeezing your glutes to lift your hips, so that lifts your glutes and your hamstrings. We can do lunges, so forward lunges, side lunges. Those are obviously all lower body based. If we take it to the upper body, you've got the different variations of push-ups. Mm-hmm. If you have a bench available, you could do your bench dips to work your triceps and your pecs. If you happen to be in an area where there's maybe a kids' play area, obviously just bearing in mind that you might look a bit dodgy as an adult going into kids' play area, but if there's no one there and no one really minds, if they've got a jungle gym, if only you could do pull-ups on the jungle gym, after any sort of structure, and if you're outdoors and there happens to be a decent tree with a nice safe branch to do pull-ups on, that would be great.
Sure.
And even if there's a, you know, sometimes on the sports field, if they've got all the grandstands up on the side of the pitch, if you actually go to the back of the grandstands and you hang onto the step from underneath, you can do pull-ups and rowing, sort of rowing type movements on that, just pulling your body weight with your feet in contact with the ground, so it's good for beginners as well. So that would work the muscles that are involved with pulling. So your lats, your muscles, genus capitis, your rhomboids, your biceps. So you're able to target basically your whole body using the body weight. Obviously, then, of course, you have your abdominal exercises, which most of us are very familiar with, your crunches, your planks, your side planks, any of those sort of movements, but your body weight is the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, though, for many people, the body weight might be a little bit easy. So how do we make it a bit more challenging? Because, you know, if you stick with outdoors and that's the only option you have, you need to challenge yourself in some way or the other. So we can maybe increase the number of repetitions that we do, or we can increase the tempo that we're working at. So
okay,
if you think I can do bodyweight squats all day, then fine, let's slow your bodyweight squats down. So maybe take 4 seconds to lower yourself down and 4 seconds to come up. So it's literally 8 seconds per rep. And we're only able to manage a few repetitions because the burn would kick in quite early. But at the same time, I'm challenging myself in an exercise I would normally find quite easy.
Okay, so it is possible to first of all master body weight, but then also increase the difficulty, as you say, by working on, I guess, your form in many ways, right?
Yes, correct, 100%.
Yeah.
So you always want to, for most people, the basic form of an exercise is very easy, but when we start refining technique, controlling the pace, thinking about, you know, if I'm doing a squat, what else am I working on? I'm actually working in my core structure as well, so I start to think of that level where the control is very important and get much more benefit from each of those repetitions that I do of that exercise.
Mm-hmm. The benefits of calf raises, Derek, what are they? And then, of course, how do we, once we've mastered, you know, simple calf raise, how do we improvise and make sure to work as much as possible?
Okay, so your calf raises are pretty important. And remember, your ankle movement, so when you're walking and when you're running, when your foot hits the ground, your calf structure absorbs a lot of that force and then turns that force with potential energy into kinetic energy. It helps to propel us forward again. So you're actually absorbing loads to the calf and then using it again to propel us forward. So if your calves are underdeveloped, it's a good thing to strengthen. So the two calf muscles, one is called the gastrocnemius. It's the most superficial muscle. So if you're standing and you're looking at someone's really well-defined calves, it looks like a little, I don't know if I can say this in the radio, but it looks like a little bum. That's what the calf shape looks like.
Sure.
So I'm not in the feminine, but and then deeper to that, you have muscles for the soleus. The reason why I'm emphasizing two muscles is because the gastrocnemius works when our knee is extended. So when you're doing standing calf raises, if I'm standing on the edge of a step, holding on the rail, and I'm pushing myself up into my toes and lowering myself down under control with my knee straight, that works the gastrocnemius.
Okay.
But if I do it with my knee slightly bent, like in a seated calf raise, it works the soleus. And both those muscles are vital. So just by working with your body weight, and like I said, on the edge of a step, pushing yourself up with your knee straight, so just rocking, well, not rocking, but going up into your point on your tiptoes and then lowering yourself down with your heel drop a little bit lower than your step, that full range of motion is very important for your calf development. And if you're quite proficient at it, go to single legs, doing one leg at a time. And what people don't sort of realize is that, you know, pushing yourself up is one thing, but lowering yourself down under control for a calf raise is actually much better.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you create a little bit more damage, which ultimately results in changes and getting the muscle getting stronger. The beauty of those, now, once your calf muscles are strong and able to contribute to your movement better, it helps with your walking and your running. And once they are good, we can start using them as a way to load our squat, our lunges, for instance. So if you think of your normal lunge, you step forward, you put your front foot flat, and then you take your next step. Instead of just keeping the front foot flat, you actually go up onto your toes. Mm-hmm. Every time you're going through your cycle of the lunge, you go up and do a calf raise in that lunge as well. So it allows us to expand on something like a simple lunge just by having stronger calves. But that, of course, will translate into better running and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, lovely stuff. We're going to leave it right there. But as always, thanks so much, Derek, for bringing us your expertise and your insights as well. And of course, simply said, it's just much more fun to be out and about in nature as opposed to stuck in a room in a gym, right?
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Derek Archer is a director at the FitPro Institute of Fitness Professionals.